You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Challenge All-Star Season 2, Episode 9 Wrap-Up Podcast. I am Brian Cohn. With me, as always, is my co-host, Ali Shear. Ali, how are you?
Brian, Happy New Year. Doing well.
Happy New Year.
Shooting into 2022. And we're coming in hot this week.
Yeah, new year, new guest host. We got the great Matt Scott with us. Matt, how are you?
Ooh, I'm good. I just enjoyed my Greek salad. Didn't even use a fork. Just ate it up. I felt like there was a nice man with me there. Oh, I'm good. I'm good. Happy to be here and talking about All Stars, which is about as fun as I think this podcast is going to be today, which is pretty fun.
I'm trying to keep my cool because I wanted to say something about Matt, Brian, and then you just went right into him being here, but whatever.
Awkward. Wait, I'll pretend. Wait, let me walk out of the podcast.
No, it's fine. You're already here now. It's too late. You're here. You're here early. No, I'm just so excited to have you here because if I may say some nice things about you, Matt, you know, please. RHAP has brought a lot of interesting people into my life, but I'm just such a big fan of yours. And we were talking right before we got on the podcast that Brian was like, oh my God, Matt's gonna be on. That's great. How did this come about? And I was like, Matt, like, made the mistake of like saying hello to me once. And I was like, you free? Are you free next week? And we don't really have guests. This was like very out of character for me, but I just love you so much. And I'm so excited to talk to you for the next however long you'll let us.
Look, the love is mutual, and I would let you go on and on and on about me if you have anything else great you want to say about me. I'm going to clip this and then submit it myself to the RHAP, like, best of 2022. So just so you know, it's just going to be you talking about how great I am. But I'm happy to be here. The love is mutual, and I'm excited to talk about the Challenge All-Stars.
I'm very happy you're here too, Matt. I just want that on the record.
So oh,
just
okay. Yeah, I was going to say, I wasn't going to acknowledge you at all, Brian, but
I just want this to be known. I'm very happy you're here. I was very happy when Alex said you're going to be here. So,
okay, good. Just make sure.
We summoned you like with our clapping. We brought this together.
Good. I almost just left the podcast again. So you're keeping me in here, which is pretty good so far. And I'll also say that it's an honor because as I told both of you, I actually just had LASIK eye surgery yesterday. So the very first thing that I did when I could like physically open my eyes was watch the Challenge. And I don't regret that decision.
Did they play Save the Palace for you to, you know, doze off right before the surgery? Is that what they did for you?
Wait, I want to talk about this for a second. First of all, Save the Palace, Save the Palace. Save the Palace, Save the Palace. I love that song. I was listening to that on loop earlier today. I know Allie's a fan of that song. Brian, have you listened to Save the Palace yet in full? On YouTube?
No, I have not. I've only heard the three words over and over again in my brain, like MJ has. stuck in his brain for eternity. That's all that I've done.
I think it's growing on him, though, too. So I would say to check it out free on YouTube. All it takes is 3 minutes of your time, plus another few minutes for the behind the scenes. So, I'm here for it. I'm here for the palace and Greek salads and all of Ayana shenanigans and all of it, which we're going to dive into.
So I have a question.
Yes.
For you, just to catch up. Well, first of all, you've already a little bit teased to us before we got on that you have a long history with the challenge. I want to hear about that. And then I specifically, though, you mentioned the Greek salad when you came in. We've talked about Save the Palace, which I wanted to ask you about. I need to know where you stand on Salad Gate.
Okay, so first of all, like, and I guess my history with the challenge is really relevant with this, because, like, I started watching probably when I was, like, 8 years old, so, like, maybe that was around 2000 or 2001 for me, and, like, thankfully, my parents were crazy enough that they were like, here, you could have a TV in your bedroom. So I had this like tiny TV that I watched the challenge on, but I would sneak it because I was eight and it definitely felt like something I wasn't supposed to be watching. But like I fell in love with it. And speaking of Salad Gate, I will say that I vividly remember, and actually, I think the first season I watched might have been Battle of the Sexes 2, I guess, was the infamous moment that Ayana slept in her uniform last night because she wanted to win today. I think it was 2, but I slept in my uniform I didn't sleep in my uniform last night. I slept in my uniform, though, like in middle school or whatever gym class, just because of Ayana. So I was very invested in her. I really believed in her. I knew that she was I don't want to label, but a little out there, let's say. I really loved it. And Salad Gate, let me tell you. Look, you don't. I know that these people leave the house as messy as possible. It got kind of messy between people, and I know there was the word privilege thrown around, which like is a very loaded term, but I mean Ayana was cleaning up and these people need to learn to clean up after themselves, including Jody. Come on. So I just think that Ayana should have used a fork, but other than that, I think she was perfect. And I appreciate her very, very colorful description of what it was like to eat Jody's salad. It delicious, rich. Delicious. I love it.
So now I know there's another person that cannot leave leftovers around without labeling it and properly storing it away. Otherwise, it'll be ripped away from me. So that's two people I got on my list now for leftovers.
I'm a picky eater, so no. But like, I will judge you for leaving your salad out for 2 hours. Like, so was that salad even any good after 2 hours just sitting out in the hot sun? Hot heat? I don't even know. Probably not good at all. So. Look, you don't have to worry about me, but I'm a big Ayana fan, and definitely happy that they got her back for this season.
Brian, speaking of food-based drama, I don't know if it was Junior or JR, but I think JR Junior asked, can we get a food-based drama ranking on the next podcast? I assume it's going to be limited to the challenge. Just general food-based drama, maybe. Future food-based drama between Matt and Brian, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. I can only think of, I didn't Google, I just like a few things came to mind.
Okay. I have one thing in mind. Well, I think I have a couple things. I think I have two things. I have Nani throwing her noodles at someone.
The cup of noodles incident.
I remember that. And then there was the incident of Jordan like swinging around like a piece of salami at someone.
But see, that's a great point. That involved food as like a prop, but I don't know that that was about the salami.
Oh, and then who got really mad at like the people that were throwing eggs around?
Well, I only remember because of us. Because yeah. I think I said those eggs were pre-cookies and it was a shame to waste the eggs.
Was that even the challenge? I think that was already the one.
I think it was Amanda. So maybe it was Amanda's season. But the things I could think of was Jemmy versus ketchup.
Of course.
Oh.
Amber, Josh and Fessy get Fessy eliminated over pizza.
Oh, of course. Yep.
And then another famous pizza incident, I believe Marie drops a pizza box on Brittany and Brad while they have sex. That came to mind.
That's a big one. That's a big one.
Was the box empty?
Was it empty?
I think she like took extras and stuck them in the box and then said, "Okay, Brad, here's your." So I don't know.
So I think that was how it went.
What about Corey? Pizza. I think and Tony fight over some fettuccine. Is that sound right? Didn't?
Oh yeah, he ate it. Yeah, he ate Tony's leftovers. It was another leftovers incident. I think he ate Tony's leftovers, or Tony ate Corey's leftovers, and it was a whole thing.
There was some. I thought they were on a bus. It was about the pasta. I remember that.
Definitely.
Oh my gosh! Now I'm trying to like go back in my head because I am absolutely more of a fan of like pre-30s challenge, which, as you both know, very different show than the show that most of the people from All Stars were on. You know, lot. More shenanigans, well, a lot less shenanigans, I guess, a lot more action. But I don't know. I just think of people throwing up from some of those challenges in the past, and I don't want to go there. It's just reliving a lot of trauma of watching people puke on TV.
Well, that's another food rivalry, I guess.
I was
right?
going to say, like, Jay and Jenna quit versus the food elimination. Like, we could really go on and on, speaking of shenanigans, but let's talk about what you're actually here to talk about, and we don't need to do a food shenanigans quiz. But you like the old season, so it's a natural fit that you're excited about All Stars. Who were you most excited to see back just coming into the season?
Okay, so there are probably, I would say maybe two, three. There are a few people. There are a lot of people, actually, who I was like at least excited to see back. But I have to say, from the first season of All Stars, I was actually really excited that Kendall was back because I felt like she had a pretty raw deal coming into it. And, you know, like Johnny is amazing. Kendall's amazing. Letarian's amazing. And I think with all of them, maybe except for Kendall, shined a lot more this season. But going back even further, come on, how could you not be excited to see Ayana on your TV? Like, I saw her walk off into the desert and like remember growing up on whatever forums existed in the early 2000s, just like reading all of the myths and legends about what happened to Ayana. For all I knew, she was still in the desert. And it turns out she's not. She's here in Washington, D.C., where I am. She was on the challenge. And I love the fact that Ayana, one, was willing to like embrace the wildness that was her classic line, which I could say a million times, but I won't spare your ears. And I love that we're getting so many more moments. And like, I'm all about entertaining characters on TV. I don't care if it's good strategy. So I love seeing Ayana here. And then also Casey Cooper is a big one for me because I really like, I rewatched all of the challenges she was on actually last year. And I just hated how Wes spoke to her. And I don't know, maybe you were kind of referencing this a little bit last week, Allie, but like the tone of the challenges and especially how a lot of the men have talked about their partners or teammates that are women, not great. It's still not great, but it was like really bad back then in the teens. And I think Casey, probably, I don't know if she deserves more credit, but, you know, she really proved herself here. And it was fun to see her actually succeeding. Wild that she was pregnant the whole time. But either way, loved having her here.
All right.
Casey's been great. She was one of the big stars of the season that really upped their stock, I think, for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people were excited just to see her for like the nostalgic aspect of it. But
totally
didn't think she would like offer much else. But like you said, they're competitiveness really shown through, or strateginess really shown through this season. So I think people now will be clamoring for her to come back even more than just for the nostalgia aspect.
Wow, I completely forgot about Tina. Like, Tina was also amazing to see back and really fascinating to watch here. I feel like we only got the tip of the iceberg with Tina, but you know, like I could watch All Stars all day, I think, and I hope that it's on forever. And I hope you're podcasting about it forever for another 8 years.
Oh my God.
Yikes. Just shoot me.
Whoa.
I mean, I won't.
Oh, okay. Well, let's move swiftly on. I liked this episode. I think, Brian, we had a lot of anticipation coming to this episode. Is Brad going to get DQ'd? Is Janelle going to quit for an injury? How is this going to shake out? And I think all of that interest really paid off, but it started out a bit slow, just kind of getting everyone's like, this is the last elimination before the final, like, little segment.
Yeah, I'm hoping this is like they just took the first 10 minutes of what the final would be and stuck it here. Like, we don't need to rehash what everyone's playing for next week because we just did it here. So if they're just, you know, laying the groundwork here for, you know, Darrell's doing it for his family, everyone's really just doing it for their family or doing it for themselves. I'm fine with like sticking it here, but we don't need to do this again next week. We got it done. We laid that down and now we can move on.
I did think it was interesting, though, because like Melinda got her moment to talk about why she was doing it. Brad got his moment. Jody got her moment. Darrell got his moment. And MJ and John A kind of had their joint moment. Nothing from Janelle. Nothing from Janelle. It's kind of sad.
So
that's kind of been the theme of this season, right? Nothing from Janelle.
Like, she had nothing to say about the about the finals. And we got more about that, like, in line with the injury, of course, but it's kind of sad. I don't know what she, like, maybe she ate someone's Greek salad and on production and they weren't happy, but I really want to know why they decided to under edit her, like, to give her the purple edit in this season.
It's a great point. I was curious to come in and talk to both of you, but Brian has been saying, like, I kind of thought Darrell and Janelle, and this is not a hot take, were sort of the couple to watch when they paired up here. And Brian was pretty consistent at pointing out that, like, as you're saying, Janelle's been under-edited the whole season. Darrell a bit too, but primarily Janelle. But it was interesting. I thought this was really her breakout episode. I don't know if it's enough to break through as the win in the final, but to me, it did not make sense why she was under-edited the whole season. It made sense to me, at least in this episode, that we're not really getting her motivation for the final because they're teasing the will she quit. And I feel like if we come in hot with Janelle's motivated, then it doesn't really jive later when she's saying, it's not worth my job. I want to run around with my kids. And I'm just kind of like pushing myself. I would have quit if not for Darrell. So, like, to me, the story arc of this episode fit there, but I wish we had more Janelle prior to this episode for sure.
Yeah. I was just going to add, I think part of it too, is that when you're watching this, especially because we didn't get a lot of Janelle along the way, like, I was sort of, and I have to blame TJ for this, but I was sort of like rolling my eyes already.
We don't take blaming TJ on this podcast. I'm sorry. It's great to have you, but, you know, this is it for you. We'll see you all. Hope to see you in the future.
I was going to blame somebody. I was going to blame Dave Mira for this because I feel like the quitters are shamed so much on the challenge. And, you know, we thought we kind of saw it coming in the preview. And so I was already rolling my eyes, but they didn't make Janelle a sympathetic character truly along the way. And so it's like, oh, she's another one of these quitters. And it would have been really disappointing if she would have actually quit at this point in the game. But I mean, back pain is real. Like, I get it. I need a chiropractor and a physical therapist and all of the things that hopefully Janelle has now. But also, it's a lot of money. Like, you could get she could get a new back with $500,000.
Iron back.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a doctor.
I was more wondering, like, how open this was to the house that Janelle was going through so much pain. Because even in, like, the deliberation about who to toss in, would it be Darrell or MJ, like, which of their teams, there's focus on how great of a competitor Darrell is. There's, like, Janelle's, like, really smart. She's really good. No one seemed to, like, bring up, oh, Janelle's super hurt. Like, either A, like, from a strategy point, like, she might suck in the final, we should bring her, or, like, from a sympathy point, maybe we should spare her from the elimination. Like, there was nothing to discuss about that. So did anyone else know how badly she was hurt besides, obviously, Darrell?
I think that's why we got the conversation with Brad, right? Because Brad, who's their closest ally in the house, is like, oh, my God, I had no idea. I never would have known. You know, like, he's sort of vouching for what they knew and didn't know. And maybe that plays into why Janelle's been under the radar. Like, maybe she's been in pain. It's sort of hard to, like, be social and be fun and give good confessionals if you're in pain. Like Matt said, I had a reoccurring back injury. I had to carry a lumbar support pillow around my senior year of high school. How's that for being cool? due to a gymnastics injury. And it still acts up. And obviously not all back injuries are the same. But like, my God, when your back is flaring up, it's like really not a mind over matter thing. Like, your back can lock up and you can't walk. So I thought it was really telling to skip to the elimination a little bit because I can do what I want after 8 years here. No, Janelle doesn't move. Like, she squats down and like Jody's moving all over the place. And I think Janelle, part of that strategy, but I think part of that is she can't really move around that much and crouch down and do that stuff.
And that's a good point. Like, we don't know. That's one thing that maybe as someone who has also had I haven't had a lumbar pillow, so I'm not as cool as Allie, but I will say, like, I've definitely had back issues mostly in the past, thankfully, to the point where it's, I can't take another step. Like, I can't walk. So, I mean, we don't know exactly where her issues are. Maybe we need someone to come in with her x-rays and break this down. But yeah, I think that's a great point. And, you know, I don't even think it's strategy at that point. It's like, I physically cannot do this. So I'm going to be in this really awkward position for 10 minutes pushing these cinder blocks through. And I mean, I'm not going to mention the fact that it worked out by a hair, but
spoilers.
Spoilers.
And this also points to like the inconsistency we see with the challenge medical crew, where sometimes someone could be sort of complaining about an injury, but they're like, no, I'm fine. I'm going to push through. Like, nothing's going to take me out of this game. And then the next scene, they're removed. Here, Janelle's like really obviously debating, do I stay? Do I go? I don't know if I can. If it was that bad, you would hope the challenge medical crew would just pull her. Or get an x-ray done or something, but I don't think that we did anything of that. So that was another just weird kind of disconnect with her injury and how the challenge was handling it.
But back injuries are also tough. Like, for example, my issue is I have scar tissue on my sciatic nerve. And like, all you can really do is like stretch, heat and stim, like stay loose, like whatever. But like, I wouldn't get pulled from something as a result, but I can't walk when it flares up. Right. So like, I have no idea what her injury is. She could, I mean, if she had like a herniated disc or something like that, certainly. I am also not a doctor, but there are some things where like, yeah, maybe Challenge Medical wouldn't say, you're going to be paralyzed, God forbid, if you don't get, you know, removed. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like a broken ankle, right?
Right. And I did feel for Darrell also, because I feel like at first he was clearly very sympathetic to her. But then as it went on, you kind of just sense his like frustration was like, obviously, I'm not going to tell you to leave. So like, I hope you stay. But if you leave, you're like bringing me down. Like, I don't want to leave, but I'm not going to force you to do it. Like, I sense his frustration about how handles, because for him, like, there's no good answer because he's kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place here too.
Was he sympathetic to her at first? I was like, Darrell was ice cold.
Yeah, I mean, I like to put myself in the shoes of the people on these shows as much as possible, and I just kind of feel like if I was in Darrell's shoes and my partner had back issues, like, I'm totally sympathetic, but also, like, again, it's a lot of money and you never know what's going to happen. I mean, we know how rigorous the challenges or the finals are nowadays and how rigorous they've been. And, you know, maybe Janelle can't make that through. But to take that money away from Darrell, who like clearly has proven himself to be a winner in the finals, that's not right. Like, and I don't think anyone wanted to see that. I don't think Janelle wanted to see that. So I'm glad that things came around to where they did, and hopefully, you know, I guess we'll kind of have to see where they go from here on, because her back is obviously still an issue and they're still currently partners.
I agreed with Darrell. First of all, I agree with you, Brian, where you're saying like, you understand he's going to be frustrated about this. I thought Darrell was a little bit like short, like, well, quit. And like, not willing to like discuss it, but I get it. It's emotional. Like, Matt, you're saying it's a lot of money, and it's nothing he can really do about it. But I agreed where she was trying to be sort of altruistic or like selfless and say, I don't want to, even if we win this elimination or if we don't get sent in, it's unfair for me to like start the final knowing I'm not going to be able to finish it. And even if Darrell, I thought Darrell made great points of like, it could go to individual and then you could quit. We could switch partners, right. like whatever. But mm-hmm. also they get money each week they stay. And some, I don't know the exact payout here. Maybe they don't. But like my understanding with reality TV is every episode you continue on, you get more money. Maybe there's third place money in this final and all he has to do is carry her across. Like there's also like more than just winning the final that matters. So I don't think Janelle owes it to anybody to quit before she's physically unable to continue.
Yeah, but I'll also say that this is kind of where I think the editing is kind of strange. Like, we got so much from her about how she wanted to quit and, you know, how she didn't think it was fair to take other people's spots when she knew she couldn't do it. And I mean, because she obviously didn't make that decision, like, I would be really curious to see the raw, unedited footage of what she actually was thinking, because it did really seem like it was, it kind of seemed like she wanted to go the other way. And I'm curious how much she actually was considering quitting before the final, because she could have quit, like, weeks before. That's mm-hmm. the thing. So I don't know. I think there's some editing trickery, because she obviously she went a way that was different than what we were hearing for the most part.
And it feels like this has to impact the final and so either her quitting or being removed, because if not, like, why is this even included? I mean, she doesn't quit. It's not really like, it's not really a storyline in the voting or the strategy talk of it. They could have easily just cut all this out with her injury. I think people have said, like, they've battled injuries on the challenge before. They didn't really show it going down. So unless, like, if this doesn't impact the final, I don't even know why this is even included.
I mean, look, I think it has to impact the final. How do you have a back injury that you've aggravated in the elimination and then you're going to go straight to the final? Like, I think it will have to impact in some way. We also, the next week on, she's like on the ground, right? But even if this was just isolated, like, we often used to push back that the challenge doesn't like have a winner's edit. I think we've maybe moved away from that in more recent seasons. But, you know, I enjoyed the intrigue of the episode. Like, if the only point of the episode was, is Janelle going to quit or going to soldier on for Darrell? And that, did I say Jarrell? Is Janelle going to quit or soldier Jarrell. On for Darrell? And then if they go into the elimination, are they going to win? Like, by the end of this episode, I was rooting so hard for Darrell and Janelle. So I got emotionally manipulated, and I'm here for it.
That's interesting. I was not, because in my head, I think all this is leading towards is Janelle being removed for the final, and it just like takes the spot of someone who maybe could win the final. So I was really rooting for Brad and Jody here to win. Personally.
Here's what I'll say. Maybe this is controversial. I'm never rooting for Brad. I don't know what it is. Like, honestly, maybe this goes back to my childhood trauma of him getting that wedgie from The Miz. And just like ever since then, I've kind of been out on Brad. And, you know, for me, I was kind of happy to see it. I feel bad for Jody because she came back after so long and is such a fierce competitor. Like, Brad's there breaking boxes. Like, I don't know if it's his fault that he went home, because he might have been in the elimination either way. But I think at the end of the day, like, he in a lot of ways, over what I've seen in the challenge, he hasn't done himself any favors. And, you know, I think that that's kind of reflected. That's why he ended up in the elimination in the first place.
Janelle and Darrell didn't get thrown in, because I agree with what you were saying sort of before, which if Janelle was open about her injury, I think the odds that she got thrown in were very slim, if we believe the edit, because everybody was throwing them in because they wanted them to beat Jody and Brad. So I think an injured Janelle much less likely to do that. If they got a pass as a result and then quit in the final, then maybe I'd be like, oh, what a wasted spot.
Yeah.
But like, she went into that elimination and Jody and Brad got. So like, if you couldn't win the final, but you can't get through an injured pair, like, do better. I didn't feel bad for them because they lost.
I definitely do not feel bad for Brad and Jody in any way. I was just rooting for them.
But I'm not rooting. But like, I'm not going to change my rooting interest because like OJ Nell's injured and might have to quit next week. Like, if she does quit next week, I won't say I wish Brad and Jody were in the final. It's like they could have beaten them. It wasn't like they got dragged. That's the distinction for me. And like, this is what I was thinking about Brad and Jody, because spoiler alert, like we had talked last week, we're going to update our rankings of who we're most excited to see back. And at first, I think I put Brad and Jody right at the top. And then I thought about it a little bit more and I was like, you know, Brad and Jody are amazing competitors, but I do have a little something like maybe what Matt's alluding to of like, but are they stars? Like, to me, even Janelle with her little bit of airtime this week, like, I was so invested in the story. And then with Darrell, it's like, God, he opens that note from his wife. Like, Darrell is a star. Brad's a competitor. Darrell's a star. So I'm always going to, like, get pulled emotionally. And I'm a sap.
Hey, I mean, I am too. But this is, like, this is a show we're supposed to enjoy. And I think that's, for me, why I'm gravitating to people like Casey, like Ayana, like Tina, because that for me is what the show is about. But they're great competitors. But also, like, this isn't only a competition. This is a show. And I mean, I appreciate when people are willing to compete, but also entertain us at the same time, because it probably means that they'll come back again. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see if we ever see Brad and Jody again. I guess we'll talk about who we'd love to see back later on. But you know, I wasn't feeling Brad this season. I did like his beard, but beyond that,
did you? When Nehemiah put on the extensions on his face, I was like, that's exactly what it looks like. It looks like a toupee on his chin.
That's exactly why I liked it. Just for that.
The old toupee chin. Yep. The style of 2022.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Brian, did the challenge itself, the daily this week, have star quality to you? I'm going to be obsessed with star quality now the rest of the season.
Star quality.
Luckily, it's only one more episode.
We had in episode challenge stat, TJ dropping the first time in history. I know Allie was super excited to see this. 3 semi-trucks. I know you've been clamoring. You've always said that the semi-truck challenge is never gotten to you because there's only 2 trucks.
I didn't even notice TJ saying. I saw the trucks and my brain just goes to sleep.
I was like, we didn't see. We didn't get 3 trucks. See, who's paying attention to what kind of vehicles these are anyway? But he was very big on the fact that there were 3 big rigs, semis,
all of that.
Like, I mean, it wasn't that. I wasn't that impressed.
And that's a Hall of Famer, TJ Lavin.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to mention him anymore. Let's call him Dave Mira.
So, yeah, so this challenge, they were jump back and forth between the trucks. They had to what, collect keys, unlock ropes, or rip the box apart to unlock a final box to, you know, collect the little ball and jump back on the truck together. They had to do it separately, and if they didn't do it in an amount of time, they would be pulled off the truck.
This was so interesting. Ooh. And like, the one thing I was thinking about was how much hand size plays a role in this, because like, I haven't tried to untie a ton of knots anytime recently, but like, it has to be hard. Is it harder for people to untie knots when they have bigger hands?
We got Jody talking about her man hands with the gloves.
She did.
And that was difficult in the elimination. But that, I would never be good on the challenge. I definitely wouldn't be good doing it on a big rig, 1, 2, 3, 5, however many trucks you got. I would not be good at them. But I am a great knot untier. I will say that. And I would say I'd have average size hands. Whatever that means.
We'll use that as like a data point. I'll put that in the spreadsheet and we'll figure out the hand thing. But no, I also thought it was interesting, and I was not at all thinking about this in terms of hand size, but mm-hmm. I thought it was cool / interesting that like John A and Melinda and Janelle and Ayana all like finished or got back to the big rig before their partners did, which was like cool, because I don't feel like we see like women shining in that way on the challenge all the time. So that was kind of cool. Maybe there's some weird correlation with hand size. I have no clue how big these people's hands are, except for Jody's massive quote unquote man hands.
I feel like the fingernail is the more important part, right? Wouldn't the fingernail be the important part of the hand there for untying the knot?
That's it. Actually, no. I don't know.
You need strength in the fingertip. If your fingernails are too long, that's like can't really get in there. You need like that.
Well, not too long, but it can't be too short. Yeah, it can't be too short, but not too like. I think you need that, like, you know, manicured finger.
I did think it was pretty interesting. We like spent way too long probably last week crunching like the possible scenarios. It was interesting to see the only safe team, Melinda and Nehemiah, win. And it was like a decided victory. Like everybody knew they won as soon as they went.
Yeah, unless they did something wrong along the way to get DQ'd. It was pretty cool that they were the only team to complete it. I mean, as Matt said, all the women completed it. I think it's except for Jody. It was pretty interesting to see that only Nehemiah and Melinda finished this one.
And you have Tech and Ayana being like, we already won. Like, they won, so we're fine.
Yeah, and I just think, like, the other thing with this that, look, I don't know the setup with the boxes and the locks, but like once Brad smashed those boxes, I'm assuming they had to just completely replace the boxes. And then suddenly they were harder. I think it was Tech and Ayana after them who went up, I think, or maybe I think it was MJ and John A and then Tech and Ayana. But like, I always wonder about these things. I'm like, was this too difficult? Like, was the box, the replacement box, like defective? Who knows? I wonder.
Little tinfoil hat going on.
Scandal.
I'm wearing it right now.
That's interesting. I haven't even looked at the tweets much in All Stars. The All Stars is like cotton candy to me. It's like, I'm just enjoying it. I'm doing the work by watching it, but I'm not like scrubbing Twitter as much as I probably should be. Don't at me. But I don't know if anyone's like said anything about that, but that is an interesting theory for sure.
Is Corey Lay trying to get on All Stars yet? Has that started happening?
You need to ease up on Corey Lay, Brian. Okay. You had a good tweet. Alone. We had fun. It was a little mean spirited, but you know, sometimes we could do that here, but enough.
Leave Corey alone. I don't know why you should leave him alone, but please.
I'll defend. It makes my love for Corey grow stronger.
Mine too, I think. I don't know why.
Ryan won't listen. It's okay. You shouldn't. That's what we're doing here.
Yep.
I'll go back to ignoring Brian on this podcast.
That's what Allie's done for 8 years. It's kind of
so special. I was just saying anyway,
the person
Allie.
Who ignores when I say something nice and then graps on me. Someone say something, please.
It's pure chaos. We love it.
As always.
So yeah, so we got Brad and Jody DQing. I wish they would have said who like finished last without the DQing. I would have liked to know that. I know they wouldn't, because that's just not what they DQed. They finished last, but I was just curious who actually like time-wise finished last.
I mean, we knew that with Casey and Melinda, right? Like, we did know that. And maybe it would have been something to talk about with the vote. Like, who knows? Mm-hmm. Like, I do think it's relevant information. If you're going to do things that are timed, I think people should know, like, the order of what happened.
Yeah, it would help.
I'll play chicken. Who wants to talk?
Oh, my God. That was I was just having fun, like, sitting back, taking it in.
All right. Darrell and Janelle
are
going to have to go to work against MJ and Janae, because they already know who's going to be the people getting put up, right? Darrell makes like a snide remark in shades Janae of like, well, now Janae is going to be brown nosing everyone, blah, blah, blah. That's the game, Darrell. Like, I love that Janae goes to work and starts making a pitch for Darrell and Janelle to go in.
Yeah, I was very excited to see Janae go to work here, because I figured she would be the one amongst the four of them who would do it the best. And I don't know if this is all she had to offer, but it seemed very flat. Like, the argument was basically like, don't throw us in. And like, that was it. Like, there was no like deep reasoning. Like, she was like, the ball's in your court. Like, it's your decision. Like, I would have liked to see more from Janae here.
Yeah. And I mean, even just thinking through the decision, like, do you send in Darrell and Janelle or Janae and MJ? Like, to me, neither of them is really a bad choice to send in, because if you send in Janae and MJ, like, apparently they're really tough competitors, and if your goal is to take out Brad and Jody, right, as potentially the strongest competitors, you send them in and you could do that. But sending in Darrell and Janelle is also interesting. Not to take anything away from Janelle, other than the fact that we didn't see much of her this season. Like, sending in Darrell is a good idea. We have to assume that he's going to be able to perform insanely well in a final. And so, you know, regardless of whatever Nehemiah says the reasoning is, or what they concocted to do to kind of take out, or, you know, take on Brad and Jody, I just kind of feel like I might send in Darrell just because it's Darrell.
Yeah, I think it became pretty clear, and this is where I think maybe Janae didn't make that strong of a case, is I think she knew she wasn't going in, although we see her get very emotional after and thank Nehemiah. Like, maybe to Janae's credit, she has enough self-confidence in her performance last season and this season that she does think genuinely that she and MJ are a big threat, and they are a big threat, so she should feel that way. But I think what Matt's putting out about Darrell is absolutely true. But also, like, they don't want to go against Brad and Jody, and they don't want to go against Darrell and Janelle. So it's almost like, I'm going to send those two teams in, and whichever one comes back, it's one less team that's going to beat me in the final, and I'll just have to deal with 50% of the threat level kind of thing. So I don't think anybody was ever, like, that Janae really needed to force the issue. And when you're dealing with Ayana, too, like, she's such a wild card that I almost think, like, a softer pitch of just, I really want to be here, and like, you should put them in, and but it's up to you, and like, I respect you, is maybe the best pitch to Ayana.
Yeah. Yeah. And
do you think there was any conversation that Nehemiah would have had with Brad about asking who he wants, given like their sort of ish friendship or mutual understanding with each other?
That's a great question.
Are you thinking that Brad said Janelle knowing that she's got the back injury?
No. I don't know either way. Maybe you could go either way. Maybe Brad would have wanted MJ and Janae thinking they're weaker, or wants Darrell to, like, you know, oh, man, I'm going to take out the strongest type thing. Or if Janelle's injured, he wants to take out her. I don't know. But I'm just curious if that even crossed their brains to, like, wouldn't Nehemiah ask Brad? Would he even care who he said in that spot?
Yeah, I don't know. I read the situation a little bit differently, and thinking it over now, like, John A shouldn't have to say much of anything at this point in the game because she's been putting in the work and laying the groundwork with everyone from the beginning. And it's like, it's a very simple thing, or maybe it's not that simple for everyone to do, but for John A, it seems very simple. Like, just make sure that people are on your side and that they don't want to see you go home and they won't send you in. And so while we didn't see a lot in terms of John A putting in work to stay, and then we did also get a lot of John A talking about how she hadn't been put into an elimination, so maybe that's a reason to send her in, which is kind of funny when you realize that Darrell and Janelle hadn't been in one either this season. You know, I think that John A really laid the groundwork to maintain her safety in this game. And I don't know, you know, I know that Darrell and Janelle surely did that to get to this point, but we didn't see that to the level that we saw John A really doing it. And we saw like MJ and others putting over the fact that John A was so amazing with everyone and just having conversations. So, I mean, by the end, you shouldn't have to campaign in the end to keep yourself safe if you're doing the work along the way.
It's a great point. Just skipping quickly, because I want to talk about the tie, but I want to know from you, Matt, do you think Janae's like moment with Nehemiah after he saves her, was that game? Was that real? Was it some combination?
I would say that, I mean, it's definitely at least some combination, but I, you know, like Janae to me has seemed so seamless at these different conversations, going back to, I think, the first conversation she had in the season, which was with Tina. And so I think it's a mix. And I think the best players are the ones who kind of take something that has a seed of reality, but then like really amp it up. And like, you know, I have a pro wrestling podcast, and like in pro wrestling, what we talk about is like the best characters are the actual person, but like turned up to 11, which like Mari, my co-host, says all the time. And, you know, it's true. And so I think that that's kind of what happens with John A, because clearly the strategy is always there. Like, I don't think that ever turns off for her at least in the All-Stars version of the challenge. And I would rather give her credit for, you know, being able to like walk the line between like, ooh, here's a genuine emotion, but also this is good for my game.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, Matt. I think this was genuine, but baked with smartness. Of, I think other people would either, if this happened to them, would either just in a confessional say this, or just say this to their partner, or just think, oh, I'm not even going to go up to the person to say it, or they would say it in a way that's kind of seeming like backhanded. They wouldn't handle it the right way. Like Janae, this is, I think, it clearly meant a lot to her. She wanted to make another final and prove it to herself again and do it well, but also knew it would be good to thank Nehemiah in this spot and show real genuine, try to form a connection. So I definitely think it's definitely both, but like you said, Matt, really baked with realness, which makes it real, even though there is a layer of being smart about it.
Totally. Cause like, and you know, not to like, to beat a dead horse the point, but like, I think when something comes from that more real place in a game like this, like if you're the person on the other end, who's kind of trying to like suss out everyone around you, you're looking at it and you're like, oh, that's sweet. That makes sense that she would say that, because it is coming from a real place. If it was completely made up and fabricated, people are able to see through that, especially in a game where you're just like looking to see through people and their lies. So, you know, brilliant by John A. And I mean, is this her best season yet? I mean, even compared with last All-Stars, like, she is shining so much here, and I'm excited to see what happens next week.
So what's interesting, though, is as great as it was from Janae, and you would think like Nehemiah would take it well, I don't actually know how well he took it. It seemed like he like almost reminded himself like, oh yeah, Janae's skating by again, not seeing elimination. And then even like in his walking away, he was like, enjoy the second final you've seen in your life, which I found was like a kind of a weird dig. To make it her. So like, it was smart. I thought she did it well, and I thought it would go off much better with Nehemiah than it actually did.
Here's where like star quality comes up again, because John, I totally agree with everything you guys are saying about Janae, that it was real genuine emotion, and it was channeled very strategically. Nehemiah's got an ego, you know, and don't we all? And it was like the perfect, like, you know, a little kiss the ring action. And yeah, I don't think Nehemiah took it well at all, because that's, you love Jonae because she's so smart and genuine and a great social player. And you love Nehemiah because he's at, like, Matt, to use what you're saying, he's at 11 100% of the time. Like, he is in such game mode, to his detriment, often, frequently, this season and others. So I love that he's, like, not allowing this moment to break through his game armor and is like, you're still not on my side. I don't care about this real moment. I reject it.
Yeah, but I mean, I think at the end of the day, like, you kind of have to be results oriented with all of it. Like, what did Nehemiah decide to do at the end? I think I shouldn't even be calling him Nehemiah. I should call him Nee. K-N-E-E in my notes, of course. But, you know, Nee, I can't do it.
It's cute. I think Nee is cute.
Oh, gosh. It feels wrong. But, yeah, like, I like the fact that he's so committed to the bit, but I think he's almost, like, too committed to the bit where, like you're saying, he does kind of get swept up in the game. And I think that, every other season I've watched with Nehemiah has been so frustrating because I've always wanted to root for him, and I just kind of feel like he shoots himself in the foot somehow. And somehow he managed to not do that this season, at least so far.
And I'm going to be so fascinated to see in All Stars 3 if Jonae is a part of it, like how she navigates it again. Now, I guess since they've already filmed, I think, All Stars 3, right? Like, maybe they wouldn't advise how she did season 2 again, like skating by, working the politics game, and not seeing an elimination. But, like, is she able to do it again? I would imagine her target level is going to be much higher. Are people going to be gunning for her? To see if she can navigate it again would just be even more impressive than what it's already been for Jonae for the first two of these seasons.
Is Nehemiah on next season? I forget.
You're asking the wrong person.
Okay, well, we'll all find out together. Ooh. So I want to talk about the vote quickly. I mean, I do think it was a little bit of a pomp and circumstance. Is that right? What I was going to say, much ado about nothing. I don't know phrases anymore, Ryan.
Pomp and circumstance. I like that.
Smoke and mirrors. Like it was a big to do and for nothing. But like, they force a tie. What do you think of Tech's strategy here? Like, oh, yeah, we're going to force a tie, a useless tie, meaningless tie, and then make Nehemiah and Melinda make the decision so that we at the last elimination don't have blood on our hands.
So dumb. Also, like, what are you trying to do? Are you? I just thought this was hilarious because it's like, I don't know. I can't wrap my head around it. It's so frustrating because is the palace not coordinating? Is the palace not having their, you know, daily meetings and their check-ins and their save the palace moments? Like, no, they're on the same page. So I thought that this was strange and just wasted time.
So normally I would agree. For Tech, and especially because then it goes to Nehemiah to make like the verbal vote, I think it's brilliant for Tech, because I think when Darrell comes back, he's going to remember Nehemiah making the vote. He's not going to remember Tech. I think he will remember Nehemiah was the one who called him out in the last elimination. I know he won, so that it stings a little bit less, but I think that's where his vengeance is going to be on.
Yeah, but I also think like the fact that it's the palace, so it's such a clear unit. I think at the end of the day, like, I don't know, and I guess we'll see, but I don't know if this, like, I think Nehemiah could have made a decision on his own against Darrell, and that still would have hurt the whole palace in his eyes. They're, like, I kind of find it hard to believe that Darrell would really, like, single out, yeah, single out's the phrase, not signal out.
What are you doing over here? I'm corrupting you, too.
Struggling. But yeah, I am fascinated to see what happens. But yeah, Nehemiah, like, they were very coordinated in all of that. I don't think it magically went to a tie. And Nehemiah didn't seem surprised or caught off guard. Like, maybe he could have played it up more. Like, oh my gosh, I didn't expect for there to be a tie. I didn't think about this at all. But, like, it's kind of like BS. So, you know, we'll see how it all plays out, right?
I think this was too cute. This was over coordination. Yeah. They overthought it. I don't think that this is going to matter from Jarrell's perspective. I think we get a confessional from Jarrell even saying like, this was bullshit. They all just, they're all in this together. And then I think we get another one where he's in the elimination saying like, I'm picturing Ayana, Tech, and Nehemiah's faces while I bash this cinder block, right? Which I don't know how Melinda gets out of this. I think overall, Tech's threat level coming out of the season is very low, even though he had a great season. He beat Steve in elimination. I do think his partnership with Ayana, they both maybe held each other back a little bit. I don't think he's viewed as a physical threat, perhaps unfairly due to like, cause he's pretty slender. And Nehemiah, I think is credited as being like the big boss of the Save the Palace Alliance. So I think generally, even if Tech were to have cast this deciding vote, it would be fine. Jarrell is the king of the burn vote himself. So he should, if he wants grace to be given to him for burning votes, he should give it back to Tech. But I think generally, like, we, meaning the people on the show, we're not idiots. Like, this was like almost like treating us like we're dumb.
What I liked too was that clearly the TJ, like, this was a clear voiceover at the challenge, the way TJ said, and if there's only one team voting, and if there's a tie, it'll go to the winners of the challenge. So I liked that they had to like, because I'm sure that they must have asked the production before they forced a tie and they risk giving up their powers. So they probably were like forcing production to give them an answer about what would happen in the tie. And then they went back, obviously, and then like for the editing purposes, for the TV show, then add that little portion in.
Also, it gives it a little bit away too when Ayana, who like, don't sleep on Ayana's strategic chops, because, and I say that just to myself, like, she's sitting here saying like, I'm voting based on who wants it the most, who will match Brad and Jody's energy, because you guys want it so much, and I want to give you, like, a great competitor who wants it as much as you. And then she goes to confessionals like, I hope they're going to take Brad and Jody out. So not only is she, like, making a pretty good case where people might not get mad at her, because it's very in the spirit of Ayana to do this vote, but she's telling you in the confessional that she really understands from a strategic level why she's doing it. And then Tech is like, I will be voting for MJ and Jhené. No reason, no back. It's just like a complete burn. And it just, it was a little too cute. And I don't but get cute. So I get drop dead gorgeous. Sorry, wrong podcast.
I actually think, now looking back, I feel like Ayana and Tech kind of dropped the ball a little bit. Because if they know they're going to force this tie and then they're going to vote in Darrell, I feel like you use that to your advantage and like say, like, go up to MJ and Jhené and be like, okay, we'll promise you safety, but like, later on in a future season, like when we want to come back around, like, I hope, will you have like get a little bit of in the deal for you? If you already know the result, MJ and Jhené don't know the result, get a little kickback.
How much do you think? Go ahead, Matt. Sorry.
No, I think that's interesting. Like, and I think that lands, I know that lands differently with different people because they have to make a decision. So like they would, like you're saying, they'd be attempting to get that kickback, even though they probably would have made the same decision anyway. And I do wonder how much certain people would see through that and be like, yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter. They're just doing this to cover their own asses here.
We did get Tech saying, you know, I don't want blood on my hands, which alludes to a future season because there's no opportunity for someone to get revenge on you. It's the last elimination, presumably.
Well, you never know at the challenge. You never know.
And presumably. But right. I do wonder how much they would allow those conversations to get airtime if Tech is saying, like, if I don't put you in now, next season you have to, like, grease my wheels. Is MTV airing that? I think they should, but I don't know.
They should. I mean, that's what the whole show is based on, is right. Past seasons coming back to bite you. I mean, if you put that clip in there, you're giving them a free scene for season three of at some point there'll be a decision to make between these people. And then you can just put that clip right in there and you got a whole half an episode right there.
And I feel like it's happened, but for some reason, probably not as much as like their conversations actually do happen. All right. Well, is that it?
I think that's it for the elimination, or at least till Smash House. They've done this I don't think they've done this elimination for All Stars yet, but it's been a not a regular, but it's popped up in Challenge Proper here or there.
Oh, wait, where, before we get that, sorry, Matt was saying something and now I want to say something. What you got, Matt?
Oh no, I was just gonna say, like, with the elimination, I was paying attention to the strategy. Actually, I was thinking about like, how would I go about this? And I feel like, I mean, okay, so maybe this is dumb because, like, clearly it was so close at the end, but...
Wait, I have to rewind you too. Hold on. Right before we get to the elimination. This is chaos, but it's what we do here. People know. I have to say, I do not think that MJ, person I thought might be the Mitch watch, which I still think for the season may be possible. I forgot how terrible a starfish tattoo was. It has aged
That's
the same
horrible.
As terrible as it always was. Has he watched recent seasons? Because he can't get over how he and Jhené have made it without going to an elimination, and that this should be in the history books. They changed the entire format of the challenge for multiple seasons because people weren't doing getting to the final. Like, he's like you, Matt. He didn't make it to the 30s. He's just been watching his old seasons on repeat.
No, either that's one theory, or the other theories. You just said, look, if I say this and they decide to put it in the show, maybe people will believe it. Who knows? I don't know. I mean, I guess it's historical for All Stars, kind of. Right?
I don't know. Yeah, I feel like a lot of people last season didn't see elimination. I think like half the finalists.
Well, revisionist history is beautiful, and we should embrace it just like MJ.
My head popped off my body, and like a meatball on top of spaghetti rolled off of the table onto the floor, and I lost my head. I really couldn't. I was like, this man has not seen the show since he left. Anyway, Brian, sorry. Please get back to the elimination so that then Matt can explain his strategy and I'll be quiet. I got to go get my head back.
It was Smash House. One person has to dissemble and break apart and smash larger pieces of a room into, I believe, what was it, 6-inch size pieces, stuff it through the hole. The partner breaks it down even further. So this is very graphic, I know. The 3-inch size, put it through the hole into a bucket, and whoever has more in their bucket gets the win.
Less woe. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so, okay. Well, you know what? This is stupid. Like, they came so close. What I would say, though, look, Jody was really moving in there. I would like to think that Janelle was maybe not moving as fast, or I don't know, but I didn't like Brad's strategy of like throwing the cinder blocks into a pile and just smashing them into oblivion. Yes, oblivion, that's a word. I don't know, anyone that talks
about a podcast, including me, can't learn, like, forgets how to speak. It's so funny. It's like, I don't know what to do to people.
You're flustered. I'm so flustered.
I bring people down to my level. Fuck it.
Allie, I have to tell you this, but Brian, earmuffs. I'm just so flustered podcasting with Brian. Like, I don't know if I could get through words. Are they words? Is that what they're called? I don't know if I could.
Brian, if you could leave, so Matt would be more comfortable.
Yeah.
How many times have I heard that in my life? Funny.
Man. That's what we did. So that was a good challenge, wasn't it?
I liked it more than I thought I would at the premise. I was sort of like, is this really what I want to see going into the last elimination? But I did like that. I do think any pair that went in, I think, could have had a chance to win this. It was very like an equalizer, just like a stamina kind of a who wants it more kind of thing. I do, if I'm going to be very critical, which I never am.
Do it.
I would have liked it to come down to some more interesting object smash than just the cinder blocks, right? Because, like, more or less, they set up the whole room. You had TJ's face. They had wood. They had a desk. And it was really just like, okay, move all that shit to the side and break the cinder blocks. I think it would have been funnier to see them, like, shoving, like, a flamingo leg and like a TJ's face, like random stuff through the holes.
No, it's just like, it didn't make sense to do that. So I'm glad that they stuck with the cinder blocks that obviously like weighed the most. But I don't think that like TJ, I should call him Johnny Mosley. I don't think Johnny Mosley saw that. I don't think that it was stressed enough at the start of the challenge that it was about the cinder blocks, or maybe that was just me. Maybe I missed that. But,
well, TJ only runs the final. He doesn't run the eliminations. Yeah. Just TJ's final. It's not TJ's elimination. Okay, so,
Oh, good. Okay, I could talk about TJ. But yeah, no, it was. I just wish we would have seen like those pictures of them smashed. That would have been fun. They probably were smashed. We just didn't get the close up.
Yeah, so the version of this that I remember most was when I think it must have been Bloodlines, when Abrams' brother was doing it, and Abrams just going out of his mind berserk. And that not challenge, they were smashing, like, it was like a regular house. It was like a normal setup, and they were smashing not like just concrete bricks. They were smashing like lamps and beds and all this other stuff. And it was more like visually appealing than just, you know, cinder blocks.
What was the one? Was it Tori versus Jenna? It was definitely Jenna, where you had to like smash things through, like maybe cinder blocks through a grate, and then like a wheelbarrow would pick up the grate, and then you had to like move the weight. That's what this made me think. But like, yeah, I definitely would have liked to see more household items getting shoved through the 6-inch hole.
At first, I thought this was going to be like a weird like memory challenge, the way that it was like set up. But it was like, all right, you have to like notice what are the differences between these setups. So I was glad it wasn't just that. So
I thought it was an escape the room, which really would have been slow.
Oh, please, though, with those four, they would have been there for the next like 6 years.
So, Brian, you were upset with the result. Maybe not upset, but you were rooting for Brad and Jody. Mm-hmm. Matt, you were rooting for Darrell and Janelle, or
I was rooting against Brad and Jody.
Right. So. It, you know, transitive property, we were rooting against Brian.
Right, it's okay. Felt that pain before.
It was interesting, sorry, though, that Brian. I feel like it wasn't clear, although Jody was very like, no one's rooting for me. But I do think at least the way they played the confessionals made it seem like it was a real toss-up of like, who's the bigger final threat if you forget about Janelle's back injury.
Yeah, and it was super close, but it also seemed like Janelle and Darrell probably should have won by more based off. It seemed like a lot of Janelle's pieces were like bounced off the box. They were like, she didn't order it the correct way or something. So it was pretty close, but it seemed like it probably shouldn't even have been as close.
Does feel a little unfair. I think maybe her box. Well, it would have been hard if it was clear, but like it kind of sucks to like make it so it's possible to miss the box, but not have them be able to see it.
Right.
Like it wasn't her fault. Like she has no idea how much power to put behind it.
I feel like that was just like a glitch. I don't think that was like, they were like, oh shit, this probably shouldn't be happening.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing is, they both missed the box. Like the first person I saw missing the box was Jody. And I don't even know if they commented on it at the time. And so like, that was also interesting. The fact that they were talking about how Janelle missed the box when I think it was pretty even at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. But hey, MTV is going to MTV.
Ain't that the truth?
Just like MTV is going to MTV, TJ is going to TJ. He says, I really hope we see you both in the future. And before we get to our list of who we hope we see in the future, Katie says, is it just me or does TJ seem like he just has so much more fun hosting All Stars? He's so much looser and I feel like he interacts with the contestants in a more natural way. Let TJ have fun on the flagship too.
It's 100% the truth. And I think it's not even just, I don't think it's TJ not having fun on the challenge proper. It's just he's hanging out with his friends here. Like, if you're hanging out with a bunch of new coworkers that you've never met before, like, you're not going to, like, have the same, like, level of joking repartee that you would with people you've known for 20 years. So I think it just comes naturally with that.
Yeah, and I think the other thing about it is, like, I have definitely dipped my toes into the 30s, but I think the thing that I don't love about, like, the more modern main challenge is that it's just not like, it doesn't feel like it's as fun. It doesn't feel like the people are having as fun. You have like more controversial characters than you do on All Stars, at least to date. And so I think that this probably just feels good for TJ as opposed to him having to like really lay the hammer down like Brad and Darrell did, you know, like he doesn't have to play that role. So I think that's part of it. But like, also the people on All Stars are just like, so it's such a joy to have on our screens and to interact with, and they've all grown so much. So like Tina, for example, I think is a great, great illustration of this, where clearly there is a rapport between Tina and TJ. And, you know, we were able to kind of see that and see like, oh, him calling her Big Mouth, and, you know, it's all fun and they're all adults and they all take it like adults and have fun. And so you know, it does seem to me like TJ's having more fun with this. I'm glad that they, I mean, I don't know what else they would have done, but I'm glad that they had TJ hosting All Stars, because it definitely would not have been nearly the same if it was some random, even if it was like Mark Long hosting the challenge, for instance.
It does feel like, for any Big Brother and Survivor fans, it feels like old school Rob when he used to do Big Brother, when it was, I think, a smaller audience than Survivor. Like, now Big Brother on this network was always big, but has become entirely a life force all on its own. But there used to be jokes that, like, Rob will say what he's really thinking when he's on Big Brother. He's like playing it fast and loose, and he's like, it's just a different vibe. Like, I think TJ loves the challenge proper too. I don't think anyone's saying he doesn't, but
yeah.
Just the energy of All Stars, just like the music is more fun and self-referential and goofy and old school on All Stars than it is on the challenge. It's just like a different tone. And I like that TJ's giving you layers. He's giving you different characters.
I mean, the yeah, other
TJ thing, his Emmy.
Yeah, give him his Emmy. Give TJ his Emmy. And I, you know what? I think like the other side of it too is just like it's nice to have people who are like fighting for things that I think we all can relate to, like fighting for your family, your back issues, your like whatever it might be that's coming
fight
up.
For
like
those back
it's
issues.
So it's fight for your back, Janelle. Fight for it. Get in there, put your back into it or not. But, you know, I think like it's so kind and pleasant. Like, this almost feels like it could be on British TV. Just move this over to the British version of Paramount Plus, and I think it fits right in with the Great British Bake Off.
Make it harder for us to watch. Thanks, Matt.
Get that VPN.
All right. Your finalists are. And we find out that you meet him on the beach. We're going right now. Jarrell and Janelle get no breaks, no time off. Your finals are MJ and Jhené, Jarrell, Tech and Ayana, Nehemiah and Mel. Quick hot takes. Who's winning this final?
Nehemiah, Melinda.
Ooh. I want to. Nehemiah and Melinda. Let's go with that.
It's going to be 3-for-3. I was thinking Nehemiah and Melinda before. You know, I want to say something desperately different than the two of you said, but I can't. Would I be shocked if MJ and Jhené pulled it out? Absolutely not. I think it's been a great edit and a great ride for them. But I think it's Nehemiah and Melinda's Save the Palace. That's been the whole theme. They've got
I would say my rooting interest is MJ and Jhené 1, then Nehemiah and Melinda 2, personally.
You know, I've never been like this much of a fan of Nehemiah, and you know, gosh, in the back of my head, I just have like Kenny and some others calling him Niedermeyer, and that like I that's literally all I think about when I see Nehemiah, just like him 10 years ago, almost 15 years ago, I guess at this point too. But he's grown so much, and to see him in a place where he's like leading an alliance and commanding the room and literally commanding the room. Like, I have to root for him. And then Melinda, she's just so sweet. I actually didn't expect her to do this well. And so it'd be nice to see her shine. And, you know, Jhené, I'm sorry. Thank you for coming. Collect your coins. Thank you for passing go. But you're not winning this game. So,
ooh.
I mean, she could win. She could win. But I mean, isn't it better if she wins on like her third try? I don't know. Who knows?
I think it's very fun. I would actually be happy and not disappointed with any one of these four teams winning. I don't think Tech and Ayana have a shot in hell, but I would be here for it if they somehow won this challenge for sure. I just think, much like Matt saying, it just to me, it's not MJ and Jhené's season. It's Nehemiah and Mel's season. What Mel, I think, is at the top of everyone's list of like biggest surprise of, you know, maybe I was lukewarm on her coming in and then boom, she shined. And she went through that stuff with the loss of her daughter. And then Nehemiah, exactly what Matt said, like, he did something very difficult to do, which is he had a big, powerful, locked-in public alliance. And he was unapologetic for it. And it was entertaining and it was sometimes bad strategy, but it got him and he got, you know, if we count Steve in the original alliance, he got half of his alliance to the end, despite all odds, with a little bit of luck here and there. I just think it's his to lose here. He did what he had to do to win this last challenge. I'm rooting for him here. If Janelle's back was not injured, I think they would shoot to the top of my list. But otherwise, give me Nia and Mel.
Yeah, and Melanie. I'll also just... this is perfect.
I just got that.
Melanie. Oh, my God. I like that.
Jarell, Melanie.
Jarell, Melanie. Why did it take this long? What is that?
M. John A.
We'll work on... Well, I don't know. I like it. We'll go with M. Johnny. But I, you know, I like the fact that, you know, going back, because I like to prepare for podcasts. Like, I went back to just watch, like, the start of the season, even just to refresh myself on some things, skipping around a little. And I got to, like,
I did the same thing, by the way, Matt, before this one. I did the same thing.
That's what it's all about. Look. And you know what? I'm glad that you followed in my footsteps. No, but I liked
so you guys can
tell me. there's the episode where like the alliances are kind of laid out, and like it was MJ and Kahada and Derek and Brad and Darrell with like Jody, of course, included with that. And it kind of seemed like Nehemiah. Wow. Thanks, Brian, for ruining my podcasting. I'm never going to be able to podcast again after this because I can't say words. But Nehemiah overheard like the alliance that was going on. And that's when he brought together the palace more officially and brought Steve in. And so I want to give him credit for that, because I think a lot of the narrative has been like, they're just so out there. They've been doing their thing. They've been singing their little safety palace song, which is a bop, by the way. But like, that was so hard for them to do. And I will say that it's interesting to think what would happen if Casey, so weird to talk about, but like if Casey wasn't pregnant, like what would have happened to the palace? I don't even want to think about it because I love them so much, and I love Casey I love Casey so much. But you know, I'm glad that they made it to the end. It just seemed like it was an uphill battle the whole way. I mean, even including the fact that they survived that elimination by Casey and Kata going home. So big fans, and like it would be nice to see that paid off.
All right, we'll see what happens next week. Let's get to our rankings, and then we will send everyone out of here. It's been a long one, but a fun one. Mm-hmm. So I'm ready to go. Do people need time to put Brad and Jody into their lists?
So we're just we're doing only the people eliminated, right? Not the
finalists.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're locked in.
We gotta have something for next week.
Yeah, I just confirming. Just confirming.
All right, Matt, why don't you give us your list first?
Wait, me? What?
Okay, oh Brian, why don't you give us your list first?
No. All right. For the women, I'll go from last to the first. Leah, last on the list. Followed by Tina. Quit, you leave, never come back. Katie, Sophia. That's where I struggled a little bit. Jody, Kendall, Jasmine, Casey.
Interesting.
Okay.
For the should I go? Do you want to do women first?
Knock at the women. Let's go around, knock at the women, and then.
Okay. So I didn't rank every. Look, I'm just gonna give it to you on the fly right now, because I know who's at the top of my list, but I'm gonna go like let's just. Am I starting with the women?
Yeah, do the women.
Okay. So, you know, I would say Sophia is at the bottom of my list. Just because, like, oh, whatever. You know what? I would actually put Leah after that, followed by Katie. Like, I don't want to see Katie fall, like, in dealing with heights ever again. That's horrible and terrifying, and we don't need that. She doesn't need that. After I'd say Jasmine, and then it gets a little tough. Like I would like to see maybe it's like Kendall in that four spot. Wait, no. It's Jody in the four spot, Kendall in the three, Tina in the two, and Casey in the one. Because I think there's a lot more story there. I don't mind that Tina quit. I'm okay with Tina quitting. Like, she had to take care of herself, and you can't judge her for that. She gave us great TV. So, that's my ranking with Casey Cooper at the top.
So I'm going to go top to bottom because that's just how my brain works. And I think I agree with what both of you are kind of, we're all sort of in alignment here, because I think there's like two tiers where it's like, I have Casey one, Kendall two, Jody and Jasmine pretty much tied for 3-4. And then I think there's a drop off for me. And then it's
agreed.
And then it's mostly like, I don't really care. It's like Katie, Sophia, Leah, Tina. Tiana is at the bottom of my list. We talked about this a lot when it happened. I don't necessarily judge her for quitting, but it's more like we respect the quit, but then you can't. You could change, you could evolve, whatever. But at this juncture, I don't need her to come back and then realize it's not for her again. Like, the nature of her quit was like, yeah, I'm not happy with who I am here. So like, that's fine. But like, let's not just come back to collect the check next time.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And, you know, if Tina did that, like, could you imagine how much people would just turn on her? Like, I don't think that's possible, Allie. Like, I would like to think that.
No. I think it's mutual. I think she's at the bottom of her own list. I don't see her wanting to come back.
Yep. Okay, good. Good for Tina then. Hope she's happy.
All right, so I'll do my guys. Shout out my guy. All right, so bottom of the list. Steve. Ooh. Derek C. Derek K,
ooh,
Tyler, oh, Ryan, no, Kahuta, Ryan, Brad, Letarian.
Letarian, number one. I think you were like, Letarian doesn't need to come back when we talked about this.
My brain works in mysterious ways week to week. We're going to do this again next week, and Letarian's going to be last on the list.
I told it's Matt, it changes. It, I do think there's like a recency thing, and then you like shift it around, and you like sit with it. For sure.
I thought about it more, and I appreciated how much that always gets me. How much this means to people always really shoots you to the top of my list. And I thought about it more, and I appreciated it.
It's only Derek K's full-time job, but I guess.
Yeah, well, keep it as his full-time job talking about it. He doesn't need to be on it.
Yeah. So here's my ranking from the bottom of the list to the top of the list. Sorry, Allie, for
reversing. I like flipping it after the two times.
We like how you switch it up. We appreciate that. I would put... sad. You know what? I'm going to be bold here. I'm putting Brad at the bottom of my list.
Ooh.
I don't want him back. Like, I don't think that Brad's going to give us anything new. And what are we getting when Brad shows up? He's an awesome competitor physically, but I just don't feel like his head is in the game like it needs to be. I don't ever feel like his head's like ever fully been in the game. I know I didn't have to go into in on Brad like that, but then I would say Ryan. After that, I would, you know what, let's just say Tyler, and then Derek K, and then it gets kind of funny for me toward the top of my list in the top four. I would put Derek C fourth, just because that episode where he went home this season was just a lot. And I was like sobbing for so many reasons, not only because of everything with him and, you know, and his family, but like also the fact like Ayana and Leah in that moment. And so we have to go with like Derek C. I would put Letarian at three, put Kahuta at two, because of how he went home. And I would put Steve at number one. Like, Steve to me was a huge shocker. He was such a great competitor. He wasn't like horrible in terms of entertainment. And I think there's a lot more for him to give. And that's kind of where I put my rankings the way that I did, just because like there's more for us to see with some of these people than others, definitely.
So I think it's interesting how different your guys' lists were. And I think that speaks to the fact that my list, the gaps between each ranking are much smaller for the men. Where like, if you took my bottom four men and brought them back and left the top four, I probably wouldn't complain about it. I think, like, really these could shuffle around for me.
Yep.
So being at the bottom of this list is, like, not as harsh as being at the bottom of my other list. Tyler's number one. My guy Ryan's got to be number two. Still optimistic about his future with the challenge. Letarian number three, largely for the reasons you were saying. Like, he just... First, I think he gave totally different stuff last season than he did this season, and he just really cares about the show. I put Brad at three for sort of similar reasons. I think he's still got passion there. It's almost too much, and he wields it wrong.
Steve, that's my problem.
I know. That's really fair. Steve, Brian, you're sleeping on Steve. I thought for like a rookie with no connections, he had some interesting episodes. Derek C. still pulling on my heartstrings. I think then Derek K and then Kahuta. I just kind of think Kahuta got robbed. So I think he should get another chance, but I don't think he really brought anything to this season.
All very fair. All very fair.
Plugs. Yeah. We've got some exclusive plugs, ooh, Matt, right?
Plug. Wait, me? Am I plugging now?
I can plug first.
Oh, no, I'll plug. So my name's Matt. I'm here now on the podcast, in case you didn't know. You could follow me at Matt Scott GW. Follow me on Twitter. Let's be friends. Tweet me. Don't tweet me about how you hated me on this episode or about anything unless it's really nice. That's Matt Scott GW. And I'm the co-host of the Wrestling Rehap Up on RHAP. So I mean, maybe are we your sister podcast?
Yes.
Cousin podcast? Family? I don't know what the relationship is.
We're siblings.
We're definitely siblings, though. And, you know, you could listen to the Wrestling Rehap Up. Mari and I are actually coming back for season 4 of the Wrestling Rehap Up this weekend. So check us out. If you're not a wrestling fan, we give a playlist of clips that you could watch. And then, of course, you could follow along with what we talked about on the show. So we make it really easy for super fans, of course, who watch the shows, but also people who've never watched them. And, you know, so I'm here right now, you know, listen to this podcast again. But, you know, the last thing I want to plug is actually like the first time that I'm plugging this, which is a new podcast that I'm launching on January 16th on RHAP. And first of all, let me just say, I have to give a special shout out to Allie because I have a screenshot in my phone of this. So I texted Sam Moore, the production manager of RHAP, back in June. I released a podcast called Black Voices of RHAP, which you should definitely check out. Still, it's about representation in reality TV for Black people and in its podcast coverage. And I texted Sam, who asked me, how are you feeling so far? I think responses have been super positive. And I said, this is June 19th at 3:44 p.m. I feel great about it so far. Very positive. And I've loved the tidal wave of support. Allie Lasher said I need a weekly Taryn Show style show. And that's all the reassurance I needed. Prayer hands. So I do have a show where I'll be interviewing people. And it's called Pod Friends. Again, launching January 16th. Follow me at Matt Scott GW to learn more, and tag Allie anytime you hear about it, because you have to credit her for me having the podcast.
No,
Allie, you saw things before anyone else did. So don't sleep on Allie Lasher, people.
You know, you know, sometimes you just listen to someone do something and you're like, this is what this person needs to be doing. Like, you were such a great interviewer and facilitator of those conversations that you had on that podcast. And I was a fan of yours before that. But really, really listening to you for how long was the whole thing? Like 2-3 hours, and I'm a 1Xer.
Basically.
I really listened to you for a long, consistent time, and I enjoyed every second and was very, very impressed, but not surprised, and was like, you need to be doing this. So I'm so, so happy. I did nothing to facilitate that. But
she
just,
did it. She did it all, everybody.
No, I can't wait to listen. It's going to be fantastic. So check out all of Matt's podcasts, but definitely look out for Pod Friends. That's a very cute title. I did not come up with the title.
Catchy theme song by Wolf from America, too. Ooh. It's like going through my head and I'm not going to sing it now. But but definitely listen January 16th. And we'll be interviewing people who you haven't heard from yet. So there are a bunch of people who've been interviewed on the Taryn Show in the past. I'll hopefully get to them in the future, but you'll get to hear from new folks within our HAP you haven't heard from. So check it out. And again,
save
tag Allie and
friends. Save the pod, friends. Save the pod, friends.
Save the pod. Yeah, that's it. I actually had Nehemiah and Tech and Melinda. And yeah, I had them all make this song. How did you know?
Got that sixth sense.
Just like Allie.
We're wrapping up, but if you want to leave us a review, we're wrapping up for the season, not just this episode, but next week. They don't do a reunion, right? So this next week,
I don't think so. Oh, yeah, I don't think so.
But thank you to Lulu Wands and VS324. I forget if I remembered to thank you, but thank you very much for the support. If you want to let us know how you feel about the podcast, you can go to robhaswebsite.com/challenge iTunes and, you know, help us finish strong. It's been fun.
It has been. You can follow me on Twitter, Cohen with a C, Brian with an I underscore. I'm only here, so I got nothing, no other podcast to plug.
That's not true.
Where else am I?
You can listen to one of the few clips from, and that's not because we're like, I'm impressed with us. Just there should have been more clips from the Rehapos Network. But a great clip made the best of RHAP.
Yep.
2021, one of our most iconic moments of all time. And I didn't think it was making that. So I tweeted, like, I was listening to the first hour of that 3-hour podcast and was like, we're releasing our own and it's just this one moment. And then, like, color me surprised. Is that an expression? Like, catch me surprised, whatever. When I heard it on the actual clip show. So you could check that out. That was a lot of fun to hear.
Amazing. Yep.
Yeah. We won't spoil what the clip is.
Oh, everyone really knows. Anyone who's listening an hour and a half into this podcast knows what the clip was.
We love an animals taking over podcast situation. And I loved listening to it. And you both are awesome. And thanks for having me on and for letting me be part of the show that I really love. Not only your podcast, but also the challenge. I would be on any podcast that you two do. So thanks for again.
Oh my God. You're too kind.
Come back anytime. You could check me and Matt. We played Podcaster Mafia in the patron chat. That's like some, I don't know how things work. I am a patron, but I don't know how to access it. But you could become a patron and it's very easy. It's user error that I don't know what I'm doing. But check that out. And you can always check out New Girl Old Guy with Robbie Freeman this week and Akiva Whitaker at anchor.fm/newgirloldguy. And you can follow me at Lash Tweets.
That'll do it for us this week. We will be back for the finale next week. Until then, have a good one.